Hi, good morning, everybody. And do you know every Sunday morning when we come on here, always have this. Do you remember that film by Robin Williams? I think it was Good Morning Vietnam. I'm probably showing my age a little bit, really, because it's quite a film from quite a few years back. But in that film, he played a Robin Williams played a radio presenter who transformed the way that they did radio for the troops in Vietnam. And he began every morning with this expression, "Good morning, Vietnam." And I always have this temptation every Sunday morning to start with, "Good morning, church." But it's a bit cheesy, really, isn't it? So I'm sorry, I've said it now, but stuff goes on in my head. It's out there now. So anyway, it's great to be with you this morning on a more serious note, and trust you're all okay. And we're ready to focus upon Jesus together this morning and just connect with him in all that we do today. So let me just pray, and then we'll read some scripture, and then we'll spend a few minutes in worship together. Great. Brilliant. Father, we pray this morning that as we gather, Lord, we'll touch your heart. And Lord, I do pray that God, as we connect in this particular way, that your presence, Holy Spirit, will be felt in every place that we're gathered this morning. Let each one of us know that you're with us, God, and know and sense your presence. We love you, God. We think you're amazing. Psalm 148 says this: Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. And praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you heaven, highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Let's praise the name of the Lord this morning, shall we, as we worship together.
Touching every heart, I worship you, I worship you. You are here in every heart, I worship you, I worship you. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle. light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are, 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 that is who you are. Stop, never stop, never stop. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. 'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. 'Cause even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Rainmaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you
That's great, isn't it? Fantastic. Isn't it great to know that, that God never stops working, and that in everything he is the way maker, the one who makes the way in situations and the things, whatever's happening around us, whatever's happening in us, that he is the one who makes the way. And I know many of us can testify to that being our reality, can't we, in life. I've just got a few notices now, and I'm just going to sort of share them. I'm going to do sort of talk over screens, if that's okay with you. Just first note, a few weeks back, Temba from South Africa shared, didn't he, on a Sunday morning, and then he was with us earlier in the year. And so I had sort of a little bit of a Zoom call with Temba the other day, and actually recorded something for their church over there. And he mentioned that they were doing an evangelism conference. It is next weekend, so I appreciate it's not that far off. But I just said that I would mention it to you, and I'll send it out on the email as well tomorrow. Just to say that it's South Africa is 1 hour ahead of us, so the times on there will. Will be a little bit different to ours. It needs to take that into account. But basically, it's just an online conference to think a little bit about how we share our faith. Temba's great passion is evangelism. He's an evangelist, I would say, and he's just got together some guys that he feels have got something to share. So just mention that to you. Look out for it on the weekly email. And it will tell you how to register, and it's free. It's a free event. It's an online event, free event. But if you'd like to do that, so look out for that. Next notice, just to mention that tomorrow night there's no prayer time. There's prayer as usual on Thursday, but no prayer time tomorrow night. Okay, just to let you know that really. Doesn't mean to say you shouldn't still pray. We should still be praying in everything we're doing. And just to mention, in the realm of prayers, we'll be saying something a little bit more about this over the next few weeks. But we're going to start some prayer walking around the town as well, and And Bill and Alex are going to lead us in that. And I'm sure they're going to sort of fill us in on a few details as well. But sometime in October, we're going to be starting that off. So watch this space for that. But just to mention, there's no prayer meeting tomorrow night. Okay, and then just the third notice, you will probably have heard by now that as of next week, we're going to be streaming this live stream into the Chalkstone Centre. So that means that in particular, folks who can't get onto this or don't use Facebook, don't use the stream, will be able to go to the Chalkstone and watch it in there. It'll be socially distanced, and we'll keep to all the rules. We've got a one-way system in the building. We'll be asking people to wear masks when they come in. We'll be keeping to all of those sorts of things. But what we'll be asking you to do is to, if you want to go to that, it'll be priority given to people who can't get onto this live stream. But that doesn't mean to say that anybody's welcome to go. It's not, you have to not have a TV a stream connection to do it. But priority will be given to those who you can't get onto this. And just as well to just to say with that really as well that we'll have to watch the news as it comes out this week because obviously things are changing from day to day, and so if things change, which mean that we are not allowed to do that, then obviously we'll have to change our plans. But I know for some of us, we're really missing sort of being able to be with other people in the same room as we worship together. And so for those of you who really would like to do that as well, then please just book in. Ring by Wednesday, before the Sunday you'd like to come, and we'll make sure you book us. You've got a seat booked in, and then we'll organise the centre appropriately. Won't be able to sing out loud, obviously because of the rules that exist at the moment. But you can whisper along under your mask and just engage with that. So next Sunday that will be starting. In actual fact, I think I'm going to stream from the centre as well, from the office into the hall there as well. So great, brilliant. Okay, going to share now a word for Sunday this week. Excuse me. Excuse me, sorry. So just gonna message that I pre-recorded this week, gonna play that across now. Okay, hope this is a blessing to you. Well, good morning. It's great to be able to share with you again, and I hope you're okay. And just thinking really over the next few weeks in terms of thinking about what can I share. We've come out of the summer months, we've looked at the Psalms and what have you, and last week thought a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount. And I've been sort of just trying to chew around. We find ourselves now in, continuing season of uncertainty, don't we? I guess if, we think back to April when we first went into lockdown, many of us probably were thinking, well, by September we'll probably be getting back to normal. And now we're in September, anything but normal, really, isn't it? And we still, it's not as bad, but certainly, we've still got a lot of uncertainty. We're finding that things are escalating again a little bit in terms of number of people with the virus, and we're all, uncertain about how that's going to develop over the next few weeks. And we're finding that, I know we're going to try and sort of have our live, well, we're going to have our live streaming in Chalkstone, into Chalkstone for those that want to go and watch it, at the centre from next week. But it won't be congregational life as we had it before. And so I guess really, we are still in that seat where we're still finding uncertainty. And I found myself thinking, do I continue to talk on stuff that that relates to us being able to hold ourselves together and to thrive and not just survive in this season? And as I thought about that, I thought, well, actually, we have looked at that sort of thing quite a lot, haven't we? We thought about faith, hope, and love. We thought about from the Psalms. Early on, I did talk a little bit around my own journey in the sort of emotional ups and downs of this, and many of you said how helpful that was, and I know that that's been true for many of us, and we've been trying to do that and supporting one another and praying for one another and what have you. And I think we should, continue to think in those directions. But I also then found myself thinking, well, what about our life as a church together, as church, that we seek to thrive and not just survive in our shared life together as the people of God?
And so I've been chewing that thought around more over the last few days, and I guess really I would like to talk this morning and over the next few weeks in that direction, if that's okay with you. You know, if we'd said, well, over the years, you'd have heard me and many other preachers saying, you know, church is more than just our Sunday morning gatherings. And of course, that's true. But none of us really would ever made the decision to stop our Sunday morning gatherings, you know, in terms of on congregation altogether. I don't think very few of us would, and I would have thought it quite unwise to do so. But actually, it's happened now, hasn't it? And we find ourselves thinking, well, actually, church is still happening, still going on. It's not stopped. It's taking a different shape. But are we then just sitting on pushing on pause and thinking, well, we'll get back to proper church where we all can gather together? Or can we actually think in this season in which we have an opportunity to look at what church looks like when we can't gather congregationally every week and say to ourselves, what is church and how do we thrive as church and seeing church as more than just a congregational meeting, more than just a place to go? I'm a bit neurotic about not calling buildings church. And there's a reason for that, because the language of the New Testament is organic language. It's the language of the body of Christ. The church are people, never buildings. You know, buildings are useful tools for the church to use, but they are never. And so I never call a building a church. I call it a church building. I call it a church center. I call it whatever you want to call it, but you won't hear me call it that. So the Chalkstone is not a church. It's the church. It's a community centre that our church uses, that our church owns and facilitates. You know, so church is an organic thing, and so I think that it's designed in such a way that it will thrive in any season. So I thought perhaps what we would do is we would use Matthew 16 through to 18 as a place to just play with some thoughts and to share some thoughts and to think together about the nature of church and how we and the pitfalls to avoid if or the things that we have to avoid if we want to keep church. You see, for me, many would say that Matthew 16, which is one of only two places that Jesus mentions the word church, Jesus explains how we get church, and then immediately from that through to the end of 18 we see some things which will stop us getting church if we don't deal with them. So he tells us how to get church, and then he tells us how to keep church. And I thought perhaps we could think around them and use that as an opportunity to think about how we can thrive and not just survive in this season as a shared community, as the church. So I hope that's okay. I'm going to do a little screen share now for you to get kicked into that. And this is the passage that we're going to think from today, Matthew chapter 16. Verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." There's so many different things that we could draw out from this passage, and you know, it's one of my favourite passages of the scriptures, and you know, meet so different angles with it. But just cutting to the chase here, when Jesus wants to introduce the concept of church, he does so by talking to his disciples about how they understand him. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Now they say that there's various views out there, Jesus, about who you are. That you know, you're a prophet who focuses on repentance, or that you're a prophet who focuses on miracles, or you're a prophet who focuses on social justice and keeping your relationship with God the way that it should be. You know, he focuses around them, but when Jesus really pushes them, he says, "Who do you say I am?" He wants to know what, and when they get it right, they get the fact that he is the Messiah, the one that God is going to send, and he is the Son of the living God. He is this God-man. He is the one that God is going to send. He is the, you know, he is who he is. When they get that thought right, Jesus says to him, now upon that, that revealed truth, that truth that has been given to you out of the context of your relationship with God, now you've got that, I can build church on that. In other words, Jesus is saying he can build church on our understanding of him and our relationship with him. Paul, talking later in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, talking to the Corinthian church, he says to them, I can lay no other foundation among you other than one which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Paul, when some of the church there were talking about how they were following Apollos, others were following Peter, some were following Paul, you know, they were saying they were basically basing their Christianity around human leaders, dependent upon human personalities and ministries and life. Paul says you've got to get past that and realize that church is not built upon human personalities or human capacity or human wisdom, but it is built upon who Jesus is. Now that's an interesting thought. So let me just screen share again, if that's okay with you, and just why should it be built upon who Jesus is? Sorry, I should have got to this page. In Colossians 1, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth and things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You see, Paul, writing to the Colossians church, says that Christ is the fullness, that in Christ there is fullness. In other words, you know, that we can build upon Christ. The church, there is no limit to the church the more that we understand who Christ is. Some examples of his fullness would be that, you know, this is not an exhaustive list. In Christ, we have fullness of salvation, that salvation is found in no one else, for no other name is given under heaven, given to mankind, by which we might be saved. There is fullness of ministry. Jesus is the apostle, the prophet, the shepherd, the upteacher, the evangelist. Jesus, there is fullness of deity. As we just read, that in Christ, the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And there is fullness of humanity. He is the perfect example. We could think of other streams of fullness, of course. And so we have the thought that church is built upon our revelation of Jesus. The more that we understand Jesus, the more that we get church. Now, I think I mentioned last week that I've been studying the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And one of those books is the book of Job. Job's a fascinating book. I find it a fascinating book. In fact, it probably is one of the earliest biblical stories. Job probably lived in the days of Abraham. And as such, it was a piece of poetry that was circulated. And I think it was more than a story about a man that was suffering. It was it's meant to help us to have a framework, an early framework for living in a fallen world. And one of the things that we see in there is that that Job and his friends, all the people that we meet in the book of Job, attribute things to God that were the activity of Satan. Interesting. They didn't have a worldview that said that things could happen that were not from God. Their view of God in terms of the way that God would treat somebody was distorted. So in other words, one of the messages of the book of Job is that there is a spiritual battle going on for our understanding of the nature and the character and the personality of God. You know, that's one of the big mega battles, if you like, of the world in which we live, is a battle that is raging around how we understand God and how we present him to the world. Now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? And so there is a battle around how we understand Jesus. And if we truly want the sort of life-giving, energizing, powerful, exciting, dynamic life that we see in the church of the New Testament, we have to work hard to get our understanding of Jesus correct. Now, of course, we're not going to get that this side of eternity perfect, but we do need to realize that we have to think hard and work hard and be careful to, out of the context of our relationship with God, to seek to understand Jesus as best we can. And the more that we understand him correctly, the more that God can build church with us and release the keys of the kingdom to us. So my challenge today for us is, how do we understand Christ? Are we a Jesus-centered church? Are we a people who represent Christ well in this world? Let's be careful what we attribute to God in this current season, shall we? Let's be careful what we attribute to God at any season, that for that matter of, well, when we see difficult situations around us, let's be careful what we attribute to God. That's one of the messages of Job for sure. But equally, it's also about understanding the extent to which Christ can be our platform to walk into this world in which we find ourselves. That Christ is the platform and the rock on which we stand against the forces of evil. The gates of Hades will not prevail. He is the one who will enable us to be a platform into this world, and therefore for us to be able to achieve all that God wants us to achieve in this world. There's so much really I would like to talk about here today, but over the next few weeks, we'll start to look at some of the things where they would have shifted from that centrality of Christ because of their fallen state. You know, and we see that as we move from 17 through into 18. I started at the beginning by saying that, you know, we're thinking, you know, I wonder whether to talk about personal stuff, but actually, by together as a community, trying to understand who God is and understand Christ and his nature and to represent him well, we have to do that by getting to know him. And in one sense, both happens. You know, Colossians chapter 2 says that in Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are held. The more that we get into Christ and know him, and the more that we get to understand him, the more wisdom we have for living our life well. So both happens. We get good church and we get stronger Christian, get stronger personal lives. And Paul, writing towards the end of his life, says that he wants to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. In other words, his great passion, this great church builder of the New Testament, says that his primary passion still was to know Christ. You see, Jesus said to Peter, you only understand this truth because the Father has revealed it to you. And assumed in that statement is the fact that Peter had a relationship with God. So we've played around with some quite difficult concepts, and I've tried to not get too technical with them. But the bottom line here that I just really want to get to is that, how do we navigate through this season as individuals? Get to know Christ better. Get to know him. Get to understand his nature and his character and what you can expect from him and what he'll do with you and through you and in you and for you. And how do we thrive as a church in this season? Bring it back to Christ. We won't thrive as a church by getting back meeting together, as great as that will be, and we all want to do it, and I can't wait for that to happen. But that's not what's going to make us thrive in any season. We're not going to thrive by just wanting the miraculous as much as we might want that. We're not just going to thrive by wanting to tell everybody to repent, as John the Baptist ministry would have done, although as important as that may be. We're not going to thrive just by our social action or our hope to God that we are doing more and more and more of that as the times and demand it. But we will thrive if our basic bottom line premise is that we want to know Christ and we want to understand him well. to have a commitment to get to know Jesus. And the more that we understand him, and the more we understand what he's done for us, and what he's doing in us, and what he's going to do through us, and what he's doing for us, the more that we understand Jesus, the more that we bring our biblical understanding back to Jesus, the more that we will be church. We're going to face some quite complex challenges, church. We are facing some right now, and we're going to face some more. We're going to face some really big challenges, I think, over the next few months. And I'm not saying that out of wanting to propagate more fear or uncertainty, but I just think we are. But we will navigate them well, and we will navigate them, and we will thrive, and we will represent God well if we make a basic commitment that says, let's know Jesus better. And what I really would like us to do over the next few months is to think about some of the pitfalls, some of the ways that we can detract from that. And then maybe I think what we'll do after that is we'll have a season in which we just think about Jesus and who he is and think about what he wants for us. You know, we were going to do the I Ams of Christ early this year. Maybe we'll come back and do them as well. It has to be all about Jesus. He is above all, in all, through all, and for us. He is the one who fills the universe and can fill you and I. I want that people look at us and see Christ, don't you? I want people to look and not say River of Life's a great church. I want them to look at River of Life and say, well, that's what Jesus looks like, don't you? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray, help us to be more like you, and Lord, help us to know you deeper. Amen. God bless you.
Great. I hope that was helpful. And I trust that we can be a Jesus-centered people. Hey? Brilliant. Okay, we're going to break together in just a moment. Just to mention, though, I noticed that I put time for Thursday's prayer down wrong. Sorry about that, Rob, and thanks for pointing that out. It's 1 o'clock, not 1:30 this week. And Belinda, can we hum? Good question. When we at the Chalkstone from next week, that so long as it's quiet, I think would be the answer. So long it's not loud. The point is keeping volume down. I'm sure that'll be okay. Quietly. Great. Okay. like I say, we're going to break bread together now. Deeper on a Sunday morning, we've been thinking. From Hebrews 6, we've been thinking around some of the teachings that there, and we've really only got as far as repentance from dead works up till now. And one of the scriptures that we looked at this morning in relation to that was Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, which says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? You know, when we break bread together, we remember Christ. We pause to say that we want Jesus to be at the center of everything. And what we also do in that is that we remember that he is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to cleanse even our consciences. He's able to do things that inwardly change things for us so that we can serve God. You know, when we don't feel like we're very close to God or that we're doing the right things, you know, with our Christian life, we back away a little bit, don't we, from wanting to serve God. And yet actually there is something so fulfilling in being somebody who serves God. And so today, let me just encourage us as we come to remember the bread and the wine, but more to the point, the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, that we can just pause and say, Lord, you know, if there's anything in our lives where we think, God, I shouldn't really be doing that or saying that, or I regret that this week, we can say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And you are guaranteed that he will forgive you. And he can touch your conscience and bring you back to that place where you are able to serve God with all of your heart. So let's just pause for a moment, shall we? And reflect and think about our own lives and bring Christ into those thoughts. Let's not be ashamed of anything we've done before God, in the sense that we don't talk to him or that we hide from him. Best thing we can always do is to get back into talking to Jesus and to resolve whatever it is that we feel is creating an issue. So let's stop and pause. If life's great and you're walking great with God, still stop and pause and think about Jesus for a few moments. Let's do that now. Let's take the bread together, shall we? This is the body of Christ, which was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that was shed for us to give us life. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's just start with just a few moments where you will have things that are pressing for you right now, things that you would like to just bring to God, and or you have been talking to God about. Let's just, as we're together in spirit, just bring those thoughts to God wherever you are. That need, that person, that worry, that concern. That thanksgiving, that area where you are rejoicing because God has met your need or answered your prayer. Father, there are so many things that we could talk to you about right now, so many requests that we can make from you, Lord. But Lord, there are just one or two that we want to just pray together. Lord, we want to pray that as we find ourselves with some more uncertainty ahead, as we're looking at what has been called another wave, Lord, of this pandemic in our country, Lord, and as numbers increase, Lord, we want to pray that numbers of those who are seriously ill with this, Lord, who find themselves hospitalized because of the infection, we pray, God, for that to not escalate, God. We pray, Lord, even now that there would be a restricting of this virus, God, in our nation and in our community, God. And Lord, we pray, oh God, that this would slow down again, God, that this would slow down. We pray, Lord, for wisdom in our society, God, in knowing how to manage this, and for us as individuals, God, to know how to live to restrain this. Lord, we don't want to give way to fear, but we do want to be wise. And so, God, we pray, Lord, for you to stop this, God. We pray, Lord, for a vaccination to be found. And we just, Lord, also want to get back to, you know, what we would perceive as normal living, God, of being able to be together. We're built to be together, Lord. Our human condition that you created is for connection. And, God, we're longing for more of that, Lord. But, God, we also realize that for a season, we have to sacrifice that, Lord, for the sake of the greater good. And Lord, that is also something that you lead us into, the sacrificing on the need for the needs of others. And so, Lord, we pray that we would do what is needed. Lord, we pray for healthcare professionals and the like, and people who make decisions on our behalf. And Lord, we pray, God, for strength and wisdom and grace. We pray for us as churches that we would be appropriate, Lord, that we would respond well and say the right thing and be the right thing, all that is needed. We pray, Lord, the disadvantaged and in our society for you to meet their needs. And God, if we have to be your hands in that, Lord, we pray we will be, Lord. Lord Jesus, deliver us from fear, we pray, and lead us into your life. Continue to pray for our children at school, that God, you help them to be able to, you know, maintain their education, God. And we pray, Lord, for everybody's, in terms of their work and employment, Lord, to be able to keep employed. Oh, God. And we pray, Lord, for that, the expressions of poverty that we see around the world. We think particularly today of Yemen, and Lord, of that escalating disaster there. God, will you move? Will you act? Will you do something that would change that situation, God? And for other places around the world where that is beginning to evidence, God. Pour out your spirit upon our town. Let this be a community that is blessed with you, God, so that we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God is our hope in our ever-present help in times of need, isn't he? He's our refuge, he's our anchor, and he is our strength. And let's just keep holding on to that. Okay. Going to play now as we finish with something a little bit different. And came across this week and thought, well, you know, we sing a lot of worship songs together that we know from our team, and I love that, but just thought this would be great in terms of, it's a worship song sung by a child and his mum, and I just thought it would be something different, something great, and you know, remind us that we are an all-age church, a church who, you know, where Jesus empowers us, what our age, no matter who we are, you know. So trust this is a blessing to you. And try and engage with it as well. You know, might not be able to sing out loud when we gather together next week, but in your living room or wherever you are right now, and just a few of you, you're okay to sing out loud.
Every move I make. Every breath I take, I breathe in you.
Awesome, eh? Fantastic. I was jigging around in here. I hope you were too. Okay, well, the Lord bless you. You have a really great week, won't you? Please join us over on Zoom Coffee now, won't you? And catch out and have a little bit of a chat and stuff, really. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your love and for who you are. And I pray that in all that we do this week, Lord, that we will represent you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for every person who is watching here right now, that they'll just know you a little bit deeper this week, Lord. I pray that we will all just get to know you deeper, Jesus. And out of the overflow of our relationship with you, we will, Lord, bring something of your love into the world around us. We love you, God. We think you're amazing. Amen. So God bless you. Be blessed and be a blessing wherever you go this week, won't you? God bless.